Well, good evening, friends. Happy New Year and welcome to Steadfast. Tonight, we have a very special New Year Steadfast for you. We're going to hear from Jim. He's going to share the message he originally was going to share last night. We did a little switch, and he'll talk more about that in his message. And then we are going to return to the New Year's Eve prayer vigil. So a wonderful evening together. So let's go ahead and turn our attention to God's word as Jim leads us in the study of it. And then we will move on to that prayer vigil right after. So don't go away when the message ends. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, and welcome to Steadfast. Hello, my name is Jim Crinning. I'm filling in for Pastor Tim. We were doing something a bit different by switching sermon series around. Last night on New Year's Eve, I was scheduled to preach, but I had a little stomach virus. But then Pastor Tim said, well, let's just flip around, because I already had my sermon prepared and everything going forth for that until Sunday morning. Well, it's an honor because no one else has never filled these shoes before. So, well, we had to kind of do this the old-fashioned way, like you're sitting in Sunday school class. Like, so I'll give you some time to bring out a hard copy of the script, God's Word. Or you can drop down a pencil and drop down the verse references that we go through, and you can take notes. Or if you have another device, you can just go ahead and use that for your scripture reading. So, the past few weeks, on Sunday nights, we've been in the book of John. Anybody remember the chapter? Chapter 6, which is a little unusual for a Christmas story, but yet it tells about what Christ was doing through the times, what was happening to him during this. And it just is the same reason why we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus. That's because here we have the Savior. But we're going to see towards the end how people are looking at it a little bit differently. So if you get a chance, open up the Bible. We're going to start a little bit at the end of chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6. I have to reference some things. And just let's get going. But first of all, let me open up a word in prayer. My Father, how great and wonderful you are. Lord, that I'm able to this is still to teach your word, a privilege. Lord, may your spirit be guide me with the words that you want me to say. Lord, may the people out there that are listening, Lord, your spirit will touch them and that they will be fed by your words. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you've given to us and the things that we get to look forward in the new year. In your wonderful name, amen. Thank you. Well, so the question I got to ask, why are you on tonight? Because you like seeing Pastor Tim let's actually go to church. Why do you go to church? What is there for you? Is there something for you? Because you have friends there? Do you have cake afterwards? Or are you just being obedient to your parents? Or someone said, hey, this is an exciting new church and it's going to explode. And you got to get involved so that way you'll be really popular and a lot of people will like you. Or, hey, now join the music program. It's huge. They got this big old choir, man, and you feel so good. And it's so nice to get in there and to praise the Lord and do everything. Oh, and the preaching's good, too. Sometimes he talks a little too long, but, that's how it goes. We always get accused of that. It's funny. But, it's a weird way to start off. But you got to think about, why are you following Christ? To you, it might be easier. To somebody, that might be like, why am I? What are you in this for? That's what we're going to see here. We're going to see that the commitment for some people were so big that they ended up going away. So, we're going to be in, like I said, John 6, chapter 6, 60 through 71. I'm going to go a little bit before 60, just a bit so that we can fill in for some things in case you forgot a couple weeks ago what Pastor Tim talked about. So three main reasons, 3 points, is reason people are offended by Christ. Three responses from Jesus' message that he gave and how they reacted. And how are we going to respond to his message? How do you respond to the message? You usually say, oh, that's a good message. Oh, that was a good song. You know the melody, but did you understand what the words were saying? Oh, they sounded real neat and all that. But if the message isn't for you to grow in Christ or love Christ, then the message is no good. I'm sorry, but I cannot, you know, be from popular in words and special, you know, sayings and all that. It's just not me. But I know the message of God is right. I know if I talk his message, it's good. So, let's open up to the scriptures of chapter 6 of John. And we're going to go through 51 through 56. And I titled this part as a few reasons why people are offended by Christ. So just go ahead and read along with me as I read here from 50 through 56 of chapter 6. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat or die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. What would you think if you heard that for the first time? These men were offended that they thought they had to eat flesh and drink his blood? What? The very thought of the religion of cannibalism of some sort came to their mind. I couldn't understand this happening if I was following someone in their teachings and pretty soon they start about talking about eating their flesh and blood and that this will give them life. Come on. Something doesn't seem right here. Of course, we know what he means. If you know God personally and Jesus personally, you'll understand what he's saying. But a lot of times we're so far away from the scriptures, we don't really understand what the scriptures say, and we just take the worldly point of view of it. The thing that Jesus claimed here also is to be God, incarnate in human flesh, but not to the grotesque, like, I can never say that name right, like, you know, the half man, half God, or the half horse and half man and all that stuff, you know, or half monkey and half duck, I don't know. But anyways, but Jesus was fully man, and that some of the disciples seen him just as a man. Well, how can this man be? He's just a man. He's just a prophet. He's just a good teacher. Yeah, he can do some miracles, but you know, I can't see him as God. I can't see that. How can this be? Jesus by nature was man. But being made by the same substance as man, but one with difference, is that he was born from a human father. He was not born from a human father. He was born of God, not man. Jesus was born by the word of God and by human flesh. He was fully man, fully God. He came from God's word. He became a man of God's word. Therefore, all men owe their obedience to Christ because of who he is. I mean, let's look at Romans 1, 2 through 4, which says, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in the power according to of his holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Because God became man, he must not take on the cross to deliver us from this bondage of sin. In 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I hope I said that last phrase right. I was thinking that says this, in between that, because God became man, he must, because God became man, he must not take on the cross to deliver us from this bondage. He must take on the cross to deliver us from this bondage of sin. Not something we do. I thought, wait a second, John, I think you said that a little bit backwards. Jesus was taken talking about the flesh, but not of his own, but Jesus was talking about the flesh, but not of his spirit. He was talking about the spirit. Jesus teaching that the spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. This is what gets confusing as we read from 63 to 64. From 63 to 64. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray them. We could spend a lot of time here just in these simple two verses. We can go in a lot of different directions, I think. But what we got to remember is, what can the flesh do for us? Before, they were all thinking about the flesh, the blood, and eating the flesh, but they were talking about the taking part of the spirit. And the blood was the blood that he was going to shed on the cross for our sins. That's what we must take. Take in the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But they didn't see that yet happening. So what can the flesh do for us? It looks good when it's young. We all try to be young, don't we? We all make sure we have nice makeup on, hide our aging spots. I'm finding stuff now, aging spots on my hands. Like, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. Look at these spots here. You know, and it's terrible. You know, or we make sure we go to exercising class. You know, some of us drive all the way out to the Fountain of Youth to gain it back again. I don't think I want all that immaturity that I had in youth time. So I'm pretty good where I'm in right now. Some do all kinds of skincare, clothing, activities, certain apparels to look young, even, you know, clothing and all that. Or they go to extreme exercising, you know, to look nice and keep your skin healthy. And, you know, but I say there's nothing wrong. I mean, God, we are supposed to be good stewards of our body, correct, and take care of it. I'm not saying, you know, you could wear filthy rags and don't have to bathe, boys, or anything. I mean, I didn't say that loud, did I? You know, you got to bathe, right? You got to take care of yourself. That's being a good steward of what God has given you. God has given you this body, and we must take it. If he lives inside of it, that's our temple. And where are you going to take the temple of God? Don't get me wrong with not looking presentable. Like I said, don't get me wrong. We are supposed to be good stewards of what God's given us. But the flesh proves zero value to you because we all die. And so does the flesh of man. We tend to forget it. It's a living organism. Just like the heart, the lungs, the pancreas or whatever. It's all a living organism. Our eyeballs, you know, we got our ears to hear, our mouth to speak, our tongue. It all goes away. But what is left? The flesh also means your worldly ego, self-centeredness, fame. What else does that have to do with it? You know, have you ever seen people, as older people see people grow up into this certain plateau in their life, and all of a sudden they're doing well, and all of a sudden you don't hear them anymore? I mean, wouldn't you want to invest in something that always has to do with Christ? Only the Spirit of God can quicken a man and give him life, give an abundant and eternal life. That's what we strive for, folks, is eternal life in Jesus Christ. We always want to be a part of that. How does this all work? Glad you ask. When a person receives the word of Christ in his heart and life, he begins to live. He actually experiences the Spirit of God entering into his life and begins to experience real life. Do I get an amen? That's all it is. Call upon my name and you shall be saved. It doesn't say you got to go through 12 steps of this. You know, you got to go through this ritual. Look at the man on the cross that said, Lord, Lord, please remember me when I'm in your kingdom. Did he not just say, well, first of all, you got to know the doctrine of grace. You got to know the doctrine of of whatever all these other doctrines that are out there, and just my mind went blank. Or, you know, they didn't say, well, are you Calvinistic or are you Arminianistic? Can you quote the scripture verses? No. He said, the man in the middle said, forgave me and said I could come in. That's all it takes. Knowing who Jesus Christ is and the Son of Man. Just like it says in Romans 8:11, but by the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. God takes care of all that. When I die and perish, or any of us, my soul is going to spend time in heaven. And that's what I all want to live for. That's what I want my friends to know. You know, that's what we're here for. What are we here for? What are we here to do? Just remember, verse 64, still some didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Some people come to God for there are some self-desires that they have. He makes me feel good. I like hanging around those types of people. Some hear God, but call them. But they didn't want to make that sacrifice of denying themselves and becoming a slave to God. A slave to God. Oh no, Jim, you said the S word. This is what we are. I am bought with a price, and that price was paid for, and here I am. Number two, the fact God saves man, and that man does not save himself. In verse 65, as we go on in this part. So 65, he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one comes to me unless the Father has enabled them. Well, you know what? Now the Father could be calling you tonight, talking you to today. He can call you through another preaching service. The Holy Spirit, we are the visible representation of the invisible God. If we're not preaching God's word, then he's not hearing us. The people are not hearing his word. I cannot save myself from the sin that I've done to a holy God. I cannot be perfect. I need someone to be in a human flesh, pay for my sins. Who is that? It was Jesus. That's what he did. That's why we're so excited about this free gift that's being born and bartered into the world for us. We do, you know, well, we do like to do things ourselves. That way we feel like it makes good. Like, look what I did. I saved myself. I'm this good, righteous person. I do everything right. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. No man can come to him unless God draws him. No man can really belong to God who has not been called to God. No man can save himself into his own way. We are lost until we are called by him. No man can pay his way. No man can come with good deeds. That's it, friend. He is calling now as we speak. Can you hear his voice? It's coming right over the waves right now. Has the Spirit of God prompt you to come to Jesus? He should. John 6:44 says, no man comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Praise God. Look at that. It says it in the scriptures. Look at right in here. This is what we read every day, all the time, in the scriptures, to keep our mind focused on Christ. Well, some people in the crowd didn't like that. What was Jesus saying? Some people today do the same thing. What are they saying? What are they doing? I can't believe that. I can't commit that. I can't leave all myself down. You know, what are we doing? I'm okay with not really. Some people are just okay in their own lifestyle. And, you know, that's just for people that need help. You know, I would love to have them to hear the Savior calling them home. I would love to keep preaching the Word of God till I go home. And no one's not going to stop me unless I lose my voice. Unless, you know, I get shunned down. But would you ever commit to that? If someone ever says, hey, I don't want you speaking the word of God to me. Well, I'm going to still act that way. I may not speak it, but I'm going to act that way. So in other words, three responses from Jesus' message that we're going to find. There's responses. The disciples that couldn't deal with the fact that Jesus is claiming to be Lord. We find that in verse 66. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Yep. After all that time, just couldn't come to the fact that Jesus is Lord. There's no way that this guy can be man. I like all the neat and the ruha and all this stuff that probably was going to be. And not just a good teacher, maybe not a ruler of the world. We will be free. So what if they were thinking that they were hanging around with him because they thought something good was going to for them? Something good was going to come out of them for their own pleasure, not for the pleasure of God, not for the pleasure of Jesus. A lot of times I think we hang around that church or we get mad at church because nothing good is happening to us. Why don't we just get there and be fed by Christ? Why aren't we being fed by his word? Why can't that just be good enough? It's really hard. Sometimes I might struggle with that from time to time. The cost is just too much. Sunday morning and then maybe Sunday night. And then you get up and you read and you always have this Jesus around you. Well, you know what I always say? Whatever is your highest esteem is life, in life is your God. Whatever you find the most important in your life is God. And they were their most important thing. It was how much political ground they can have by hanging around with Jesus, because they thought that he was going to be this great ruler of the world. Of the world here, not the world upstairs. Well, now I mean, you know, in heaven upstairs. So, but here's another response. Peter believed Jesus is Lord. We'll find that in 67, 68, 69, here in chapter 6. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One God. Well, there goes a lot of people to their own ways. They did, but these 12 didn't. Why not? So Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and Peter saying, spokesman saying, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One God. Peter declared that Jesus' words were the words of eternal life. He declared that Jesus had just proclaimed what was true. It is true. Do you believe that? I do. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The life that we really want to live is the life to be able to turn our hearts and our soul over to God, not to our own selves. I didn't bring myself into the world. I can't take myself out of the world. I didn't bring my stuff into the world. I didn't create nothing. So why not trust in the creator, the person who created the universe? Because he's the one that did everything. I'm sure he could take care of me. He took care of everything else. Right? Because without Christ, there is no life whatsoever. Why are you here? Well, that's what we are here in church. It's so we can be refreshed and we remember what we're here for. A lot of people say, well, what can I get out of church? They're looking for what they can get. Here we bring Jesus Christ to the world. Christ does reign. Christ doesn't only reign in this building. You know, that was for Sunday. But he reigns in us. We are the temple of God. He's not in a building. He's not confined to four walls. Christ is the temple of Christ. In you, he reigns. You take Jesus with you. If he's always on the throne, his light, take the light in the world. But you know what? There was one person I found very interesting in this whole thing. Judas' response of betrayal. Jesus said in 70 and 71, then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12, yet one of you is the devil? He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who through one of the 12 was later to betray. God chose him. This is a tricky part of the passage. But it's just think about. It's pretty amazing. Jesus called all the disciples to follow him to be the minister of Christ. And that includes Judas. To be saved, just like the other disciples. But he chose another path to go. He was only in it for political gain, I believe. And a lot of times, we may come to church just because, or follow Christ just because of our own selfish gain. We don't come to Christ because of what he's done for us. Or, well, hey, he did something good for me, so I'm going to go follow him. Hey, you know, he did pay for me to come along, so I'm just going to love him. You know. So I just walked into my next thing. Next went, so how are you going to respond to this message? Are you just here for the cake? Someone says cake. Where's the cake? Someone says there's food afterwards. Someone says I get a prize. Someone said they're going to take me out to eat if I come to church. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, but that shouldn't be the everyday point for you coming to church. Hope that is what you're here to each time. You come through those doors. Not because of that. But I hope each time that you open up God's word or turn on this program or come to a little host church, you're going to hear us honoring God and worshiping Him. Because that's what we're here for. Not to honor me, not to honor Pastor Tim, not to honor us. We're just servants. We're just another part of the body of Christ. We're His mouthpiece. Like today, a lot of people follow Jesus just because they like to be around good people. Their mind is there, but their heart is focused on what can they get from God. He's going to bring me peace, and when I got my peace, I'm going to try to dribble away into something else. Those people aren't really interested. Are really not interested too much. It's too much of a commitment. You think you have too much to lose. Yes, I know I'm friends, and I have friends that do not, people that do not associate with me because of my relationship with Christ. Yes. Is that going to bother me? It can. Sometimes I know I'm not invited to things because they know that where I'm standing, I know what they're doing. You know, some people that bothers us extroverts. Yeah, we like to be part of the thing. Introvert people, oh, hey, that's pretty good. I'm no deal with me. But I'm going to tell you this story, and I think you heard it before. This happened back in around 2006 or between 06 and 08. I was trying to pinpoint the date because I never thought I was going to have to use it again in any type of message or anything. But I knew this young lady. We were sitting there talking, and I think it was about 13 years ago. She knew everything about Christ. She knew everything about accepting the Lord. But she said, I'm just 21. I'm going to wait a little bit. My aunt's been on to me about it. You know, I'm glad you hear about it, but I want to live a little bit. Well, that was in November, mid-November, end of October. Well, you know what? She died in a car accident, 1st of January, coming home with a designated driver. She had a designated driver. She thought she had everything all covered up. But no. Is that going to be us, you tonight? Is that going to be a friend of yours that you say, oh, well, you know, they'll never. I'm just not going to bring Christ to them because then they don't want to be friends with me. So where are you tonight? Where do you stand? Are you ready to give Jesus and deny yourself and follow Him? I mean, it's a hard path. It's not easy to take up your cross and follow Him at all. And I tell you what, that's why we have other friends. That's why I have friends that are strong in the Lord. That's why I have other Christian friends. That's why we go to church. Friends that when I'm feeling down and feeling drugged out by the world stuff, to lift me up. That's why I have music. That's why I have other stuff. Friend, we cannot do it alone. And you can't be involved like they were just because. Don't be that Judas is just hanging out. You know, what are you going to do this year? What's going to change this year? I know we had some things last night going on. And what is your new year? What is your, I mean, it's the end of the first already. But what are you going to change different in your spiritual life? What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I want to be a little bit more in the Word. I'm a little bit more boastful, but not threatening. I got stuff I have to work on. Pastor Tim does too. All of us do. We all do. If we don't think we have nothing to work on, this is the beginning of the year. It's a good time for new starts. Let's think of something spiritual. How can you walk with Christ better than you did last year? You know we're going to fail. Get somebody to hold you accountable to keep you online. I mean, we got our own little community. you know, and just pray about it. We can pray for each other, and we can encourage one another in the Lord. Well, thank you. I think my time is up here. It was my pleasure to be able to talk tonight. May God bless you, and I'm going to close in prayer, and I have a couple of announcements. Father, thank you for this wonderful time that we can go through your word, Lord. Lord, help me and myself and my friends, Lord, that they would be able to want to be able to be stronger in you. Lord, help us to be more bold and help that light more shine to others may see you through us. Lord, may we always walk in your ways. In all we do, may we glorify you. Amen. Thank you for listening to Steadfast. I had a couple closing announcements over here. If you have our prayer request line, you can text the number to 833-356-4032. Or if you have any questions about how to follow Christ or any encouragement about what you're struggling with biblically or spiritually. Of course, you know us. Christmas is not over. It didn't end December the 25th. We still have Epiphany coming up. We still got 12 days of Christmas devotional that you can download at littlehills.church/devotional. And it's a very good devotion. Yes, you may think, oh no, it's over with, but it's not. The wise men still are going to come. And then we can finish up. If you missed last night's prayer walk from 11 to 12, we're going to do it again tonight, January. Thank you. I miss worshiping with you, and God bless you. Have a good day.